We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Hello, this is Rick Spain.
That was Rick Spain. We're going to get to him in just a minute. I was over here messing with my earbuds and, you know, turning the knobs. And y'all know I don't know what I'm doing anymore because I'm not here very often. This is the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day, the first Hour of Power of the new year 2023. And we are so thankful that the Lord has provided us another opportunity to go forth and to share the word with people around the world. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. We have a phone that you also can send it to, and it's 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Grants Auction and Realty. They actually should have been yesterday, but we didn't come yesterday because half the world was shut down. It was an extra holiday. So yes, we're going to use Grants Auction today as our Facebook sponsor. Our guest today, Miss Mary Fullerton. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
It's always good to have you. You come filled with the Word, and you share right from the Bible.
Yes, that's the way I like it, you know, because man's opinions can change, and men sometimes, their emotions interfere with, you know, things. But the Word of God is sure, and as they say, you can take it to the bank.
That's right.
You can depend on it when you can't depend on anything else.
That's right. His Word never changes, does it?
No.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege of being here, Lord, and of speaking your word. Father, we thank you for this new year, Lord, that is before us. God, we ask you that our hearts would continually be turned towards you, and that we would be, that you would give us ears to hear your word and hearts to understand it, Lord, and that we would be obedient to it, Lord, because if we obey your word, you're going to cause all things to work together for our good. You're going to go before us and smooth out the crooked places, Lord. And you're going to bless us with your peace and your blessings. And Lord, your blessings make rich and they add no sorrow to them. So, Father, we give you praise for your word. And we thank you for what it does in our lives. In Jesus' name, bless this time together, Lord, and open people's hearts to receive and cause their ears to hear what they need to encourage them for this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And your title today is Hidden Riches.
Yes.
Okay, I got my tablet. I'm ready to take some notes.
Okay, and I love the first scripture that we're going to start out with because that's where I got this title. Anyway, it's in Romans, the 11th chapter, the 33rd through the 36th verse. And I'm going to read it in both the King James and the Amplified Bible this morning. It says, listen to these very first few words of this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Wow. Mm. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor, or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you can't get any better than this. It tells you how to be rich. Mm-hmm. It tells you what real riches are, you know. And so, and then in Psalms 1 and 2, it says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or was thou hast formed the earth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and this world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Mm-hmm. From everlasting, we can't even comprehend what that word means, everlasting, because we are so bound by time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
everlasting
we are.
To everlasting. Thou art God. That means forever and ever into infinity. And that word infinity means it just goes on and on and on and on and on, and there's no stopping place. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of God. We have a most powerful God. He spoke the very world into existence.
And, that's right.
And he says for us to decree and declare and bring things that are not, how to bring things that are not to be, you know, because we're made after his own image. And just like he spoke the world into existence, the things that come out of our mouth shape our world too. We create our world by what
nice
we say.
Be nice if we could get more people to understand that their words are so very important to what's going on around them and their future.
Yeah, we are created in the image of God, and if he spoke the world into existence, then, you know, he's that, and that scripture that said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. And there's another word, there's another one that says, by your words, you shall be, I can't remember, but, or they're going to be, you're going to either have success or you're going to have condemnation. Mm-hmm. By your words, you have success or condemnation, mm-hmm. you know. And so what we say, and, you know, I mean, we want to do good for our kids. So make sure that the words that you speak over your kids are positive words. Now, if they're doing something wrong, you need to tell them what the Word of God says about it. But you need to say, I know you can do better. Don't say, you worthless, you worthless example of humanity. Mm-hmm. Because those words enter into you. I'm going to tell you a little story about something that I heard my father say to my sister about me. He said it right in front of me, and I heard it, and it played in my mind. It was just a little simple thing, and he did not really know. I don't really believe that he had grasped what we're talking about, that his words had such a bearing. And he spoke one thing, and that caused me trouble for years, because the devil kept playing mm-hmm. that in my mind mm-hmm. all the time. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't know how to, I was a child, and I didn't know how to really fight the devil, mm-hmm. you know, because back then they didn't teach on how to do spiritual warfare very much. They just told you you were supposed to live in victory, but they didn't tell you how.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing, I was helping my sister do something, and she had told me, I need you to hold this and hold it real still, because don't move. And I would try my best to hold it real still. And right before she got through doing it, I would just move just the littlest bit. And she started over two or three times, and I never could quite get it. And so one day she said, "I told you," that's all she said, "I told you to stand still." And my dad heard her say that. And here's what he answered. "Don't let me ever hear you talk to her like that again. You know she will never be normal." And what he meant was I had some physical problems that I had been born with. And those things, it had to do, the doctors told my mom, because I asked her one day, "Mom, how come I am like I am?" She said, "The doctors told me that you were born that way because your nerves hadn't," I was born just a little bit early, and she said, "your nerves hadn't quite developed enough to take the full message to your extremities." And she said, the doctor said, "Well, children, you know, sometimes they overcome some of these things, but we'll have to wait and see. Time will tell how much she overcomes, you know, and how much she improves. But, you know, there'll come a point where she doesn't improve anymore, and she'll be that way the rest of her life." And so that's what he was having reference to. And when I heard this, I was around 11 or 12, you know. Mm-hmm. But that played in my mind. "You're not normal." And the devil used it to make me try to believe that I had mental problems and that I was, and that I would never be normal, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really just a physical thing, you know. But your words are important. And so it's important to speak the word of God over your mm-hmm. life and over your situation. Even if things do not look favorable right now, speak the word of God, because he watches over his word. Mm-hmm. He hastens his word to perform it. And another thing, if you speak words over what Jesus did and confess what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, God, you just think about this. Jesus is God's son. And Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came knowing that he was going to be hung on a cross
mm-hmm.
for us. And yet he came and he did the will of the Father. And do you think that God is going to turn his back on what his son did? Not on your life. Because he said that was God's plan. He set it into motion. So if we speak what God says, and if we speak what Jesus says, and speak what Jesus did for us, the word says, by his stripes we are healed.
That's right.
The word says, you know, that Jesus said, we can go back and read all those, as they say, read what's in red in our Bibles. That's the words that Jesus spoke. And you can stand on those things because they're going to endure forever. God watches over his word to perform it, and he honors the death of his son. And so you speak what Jesus did for you. You speak what he accomplished for you on the cross. And even though you may have to go through a lot of little things, you think about the price Jesus and the suffering he went through. And he said, if I went through those things, they're going to do the same thing to you. We ought to count it a privilege to suffer for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
We ought to. And so, because we know that we're doing something right, because it proves that we're going the right direction. You know?
That's right.
And I didn't mean to say all that, but I mean, that's, it's talking about the hidden riches of God. But, you know, and I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, I've got these things written down, but you take me in any direction you want to take me. You give me the words to speak, right? Because I don't want to just speak my own words, because they'll fall to the ground sometimes. But if I speak what you put in my spirit to speak, you know, then it will come forth the way that you want them to. Okay, I'm going to read this very same scripture that I read in Romans out of the Amplified Bible. And where it said in King James, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." In the Amplified Version, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unfathomable." And that word unfathomable means that you can't hardly grab a hold of it. Mm-hmm. You can't hardly comprehend it. "How unfathomable, inscrutable, and unsearchable are his judgments and his decisions." And that word inscrutable, I went to the Webster's Dictionary and I looked it up, and it says, "Inscrutable means mysterious and not easily understood or interpreted, and it requires searching." And right then, and then after that, God gave me a whole bunch of scriptures on searching. And then as I begin to read them, it, this thought about hidden riches, you know, because that, that definition says it requires searching. Requires searching. And we get, and what do? We hear about a treasure. This is from the mouth of Jesus. You hear about a treasure in a field, and that man went and sold everything he had and bought that field for that hidden treasure in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Word of God is. It's hidden treasure. It's hidden treasure to us. And so, how easy, not easily understood or interpreted, and it requires searching. And so we want to search for the hidden riches. And how untraceable, mysterious, and undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, and his paths. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has understood his thoughts, or who has ever been his counselor? Or who has first given God anything that he might be paid back, or that he could claim a recompense? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. And that brings to mind another word that says, "For without me ye can do nothing." But through Christ, we can do all things. Right. I like to put those two together because, Lord, I say, I want you to keep my heart humble. I don't want to ever think more of myself than I ought to think. Mm-hmm. I want to remain humble in you, and I want you to take anything out of me that is not like you, because I would rather get it out now and face it now then stand before you someday and you say, you have a problem in this area. Mm-hmm. I can't let you into mm-hmm. heaven. That's right. So I would rather him work on me now and purge me now and take it, make me more like him now, even though it makes us go through things. But it's well worth it, because we get to be more in his image.
That's right. That's right.
And so, okay. Excuse me. Job 11, 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to take one phrase out of each one of those verses. That's what God did when I read this scripture. In the first phrase out of verse 5 is, oh, that God would speak. Oh, that God would speak. And in verse 6, it says, that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. And then in verse 7, canst thou by searching find out God? So yes, we can find him. In a little bit, we're gonna read about how to find him. Anyway, and then in Ezra 8:22, it says, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. Because he can turn everything around to our God.
That's right.
For our good and make it work together for our good.
All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28.
That's
one
right.
of my very favorite scriptures.
That's right. So he says, the hand of our God is on us for good to them that seek him. Proverbs 8:11. And then we're going to go through several verses in Proverbs 8. But the first one is in verse 11. Wisdom is better than rubies. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants those jewels. They want diamonds and rubies. But it says here that wisdom is better than rubies. And then in verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, if we love God, we're going to love what he loves and we're going to hate what he hates. That doesn't mean that we love the person, but we don't love their behavior. We don't love what they speak out of their mouth, you know, but we love the person. That's the way God does with us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He didn't like our behavior, so he sent himself so that he could change us to be more like him. And so he didn't just throw us away and say, well, you've messed up. I can't have nothing to do with you anymore. Mm-hmm. He says, no, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. I will make you into a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And what a wonderful thing, because we're sitting right here at a new year. Mm-hmm. Let's let God make us into that new person. Because we can change all the time. Mm-hmm. We can change more into the image of God if we will allow him, if we will cooperate with God and allow him. And he will do us good along the way. And so the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then in verse 14, it says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Now that's talking about God. Counsel is his. And he is sound wisdom. And he has, his understanding is past finding out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has understanding that we cannot even grasp. And so, and he'll give, he says, if you want wisdom, ask of me and I'll give it to you.
That's right.
Ask of me and I'll give it to you. I am understanding. I have strength. And then in verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then this one is in Deuteronomy. And, you know, used to, I would read those first few books of the Bible, and sometimes it seemed like I was reading a strange language. But when I got to Deuteronomy, I began to find some treasures. And this is one of them. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And so one day I was reading and I thought, what is the difference between your heart and your soul? Because, you know, they tell you to give your heart to the Lord. And then they talk about your soul being saved. And I'm going, well, that almost sounds like your heart and your soul is the same thing. So I don't know if I heard this in a sermon or if I asked my mom, because I used to ask my mom questions and she would tell me, you know. And so, but I heard one time somebody say your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you have to give those things to God. You have to be willing to give those things and put them in His control. Think His thoughts. Submit your will to His way. And your emotions have to be centered in God, because without that, they're going to go from the highest heaven to the deepest depths. Mm-hmm. And you cannot depend on your emotions.
No.
You can't depend on them because they change all the time.
That's right.
So your heart, you do. You give your heart to the Lord and He changes. He gives you a new heart. And He changes the direction of your life. But then he helps you to always surrender your mind, your will, and your emotions to Him. And that's how I used to hear when I was growing up, walk in the Spirit, and I'll go, how do I do that? Because that's one of those things that they didn't tell you how to do. They just told you you're supposed to do it. And I go, how do I do that? But if you give your heart and your will and your emotions to the Lord, He'll cause it to happen. Mm-hmm. He'll cause it to happen. And you can't do that for yourself.
Mm-mm.
You can't do it for yourself. It takes Him. So seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. 2 Chronicles 19:3. And this was a godly king it was talking about here. His name was Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat was one of the best kings that Israel had. He sought the Lord. But at this time, Israel was divided. There was the kingdom of, there were like 12 tribes in Israel. But they had, Saul was a king, and then David was a king, And then Solomon was a king. And then Solomon's son came to sit on the throne. And he forsook the counsel of the older people that guided the nation of Israel. Because they came to him and they said, would you make our load lighter? And he said, no, I'm going to make it heavier. And when he did that, 10 of the tribes of Israel separated and left Rehoboam with just reigning over 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And the rest of them went and found them another person to make as their king. And so it says in the Bible that all the days of Rehoboam and this other guy's name was Jeroboam, they fought continually. And So, Jehoshaphat was a good king, and he searched after God. But one day he went and helped. He joined affinity with this other king over these other tribes. And he helped him fight a common enemy. And when he got back home, God sent a prophet to him. And this prophet gave him a word of correction. And he said to him, "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate God?" So that's a pretty strong word of God. Doesn't mince words when he wants to give you, get your attention. He just comes right out and says it. So, you know, some people, they want you to. There's a certain person I'm thinking about, and they always expect people to speak kind words and good words to them. But they were in a situation here a while back where they did something that was that was kind of out of control and was really wrong. And they didn't wait until the right timing is what. And then this person, they said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And instead of waiting to find out why or waiting to find out the timing, this person got mad and they walked out and they slammed the door and they did damage to the building. And at the end of that, I left and I went to get in my car, and this person that had walked out that way, they were standing out there talking to these other people, and they said, "Well, just keep loving me." You know, they did not realize that even when somebody tells you no, that it's not because they hate you. And some people expect to have their way all the time. And if they don't get their way, then they don't. Then they let their emotions get out of control. Mm-hmm. And that's what had happened. And this person did not know how to take correction. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying to these people, "Just love me. Just love me." Well, my Bible says if a parent loves their children, they're going to discipline them.
That's right.
And they're going to, whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
That's right.
And so you have, just because God sends correction to you, it means he really loves you.
Right. That's right.
It means he really loves you. You think of yourself as parents. If they did something wrong, you had to discipline them. Mm-hmm. Now, there's all forms of discipline, too, mm-hmm. you know. And you don't have to just beat them within an inch of their life. Mm-hmm. But a little spat on their bottom every once in a while don't hurt nobody.
That's right. That's right. Mary, would this be a good time for us to break for prayer requests?
Okay.
Okay.